deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Hello listeners and good afternoon. This is the Out of This World radio program with your host Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out of this world information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, UFOs, and predictions for the coming years in the Seattle area and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers and others in the world on our program, and I guarantee it will be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. I want to apologize, friends, for starting a little late today. I got stuck in traffic, but we're going to go right into our guest. Today, we're grateful to have, as our guest, Joe Trolley, coming to us live from New York. Joe, are you there?
I certainly am. Hear you loud and clear.
Oh, good. A little bit of background on Joe. He's one of the best psychics on the East Coast, if not the United States. He was initiated in both the Western and Eastern disciplines of spirituality. He has studied and lived in monasteries in Asia and Europe. In his secular life, he learned degrees in education, the humanities, philosophy, and art, and was a teaching faculty member at Ohio State University and the University of Alabama, and is an alumni of the Pratt Institute. He's also a member of the Northwest Cornell Club and a longtime member of the American Guild of Variety Artists. Today, he devotes his life to spirit and psychic counseling, hypnosis, psychic arc, and channeled writings. Joe, how did you get interested in the psychic area?
Yeah, well, my grandmother read tea leaves, a great old Irish lady from County Mayo. When I was a child, she would be sitting in the kitchen for my mother and their friends, and she'd be reading the tea leaves. I mean, that was my first introduction to anything that was esoteric in any way, but. I was a very ill child, and I had to spend a lot of time in isolation. And during that time, I'm assuming, like it happens to a lot of shamans and spiritual mystics and whatnot, their entrance into the world of mysticism is triggered by some kind of accident, ill health, some kind of trauma. And that was mine. Of course, I was not aware of it at the time. But as I got older, around the age of 13, I remember standing on a street corner with our friends in Brooklyn. You know, street corner was our plaything.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned to one of my friends and pointed to another one of my friends, and I said, he's going to be dead in a few days. I didn't say it for any other reason other than it was spontaneous, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, 2 days later, he was hit by a bus and killed. That was my first remembrance of what I remember as having a predictive power in regards to, being psychic. So, and then I put that aside, and I've always been amazed when people used to say, as I was growing older and I was in the service, and et cetera, people say, how did you know that, you know? And it never dawned on me that I was being psychic. And I remember one day when I was in a monastery in the East, I was studying on this island called Chung Chau, just outside of Hong Kong in 1961, I believe, between 61 64. And this one cleric turned to me, lovely, beautiful person, said, I'm frightened of you. You scare me. I had no idea what that meant. But in retrospect now, as I look back at it, he was frightened at the way I was perceiving him so clearly, in such a way that he probably thought I was endowed with some kind of divine power or something of that mm-hmm. nature. Because I'm not very let's put it this way. Like in show business, you're very involved and dedicated to an image. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not dedicated to an image as a psychic or promoting myself in any kind of imagery, you know? So that protects me. That keeps me from acquiring an ego that would block my psychic abilities, because when a client comes to me, for instance, and I worked with people I definitely don't like, who, when they arrive, immediately I go into a neutral zone where I have no opinion about themselves or myself. And from that neutral space, I start doing my work. Mm-hmm. And getting back to that incident on the street corner in Brooklyn, it was spontaneous, not self-aware. And that's how I had to train myself to become a very good psychic, is to have no awareness of what I am doing, just allowing it to happen. That's a very hard discipline for a lot of people, mm-hmm. because they identify themselves with their ideas, with how they perceive themselves, and how they wonder how other people are going to perceive them. Mm-hmm. So they're really addicted to their egos. And to be a very good psychic or mystic or healer, you have to disengage from that, mm-hmm. and enter into a neutral zone where you own nothing. So am I making any sense to you?
Oh, completely. I'm sure my listeners are really enjoying what you're and finding very interesting what you're saying, Joe.
Well, you know, when you wake up in the morning, there is that zone where, you know, you're in a kind of twilight zone. Mm-hmm. And it's a real nice place to be. Mm-hmm. But to become fully awake, there's one thing you have to do. You have to remember who you are. So you start searching your memory bank and your history to identify yourself for the rest of the day. And that's very interesting, because that is a point where you can redefine yourself. You don't have to use your memory to get an identity as to who you are. You can create it at that point. And that's what we do when I do a reading for someone, I do covert hypnosis, where I get the person to forget who they are, and we start exploring who they can be or who they actually are. It's exciting, because it's different every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in a way, you give people choices. Not only do you tell them probably what the spirits on the other say, their guardian angels say, to help them out, but also you give them choices, saying if you do this, then, you know, if you want to change careers or perhaps.
The first time I did some channeling with this, alien and this alien stone I had, mm-hmm. The very first message I got was, I have not come to change you, I've come to amplify you.
Mm.
And that resonated for me, and it explains the work I do. I amplify who you really are, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to change you like a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a preacher would. It's like, you're all right the way you are. Let's amplify that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that basic inner essence, that the reason you were born and what you were born to do. It doesn't go away, and it's always looking for a way of amplifying itself. Just like a seed in the garden is always looking for a way to germinate, and it will bloom in a specific way. It can't bloom any other way than it's programmed to. And each one of us are conceived and born with programs that will never go away until we die. And if we don't fulfill that, bingo, we're not happy. You know, mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. A rose is a rose is a rose, and if you can't be what you're seeded for, you will always feel out of place. You'll feel somehow diminished, and a lot of people turn that around and say, the world has given me such a bad deal, and then they become victims, And that's a disguise for saying, you know, I really haven't put any work into nurturing my seed.
Very interesting. Very interesting what you're saying, Joe. And I think a lot of times, too, for the benefit of our my listeners, you often, wouldn't it be correct to say that often you decide on a course of life before you're born, and then you're, that seed that you're talking about, then your life becomes a challenge to meet those goals or that seed?
Yeah, that's pretty much the Buddhist belief and a lot of other religions with reincarnation and the soul choosing the families and the situation in which it can express its mission, what it wants to. Well, actually, it's further growth. I believe, for instance, Joe Trolley. Joe Trolley is expanding and growing, but I also realize that when the end of this particular life that I have is over, I'll move into another to amplify all of this and continue with it.
Hmm. Fascinating, Joe.
Yeah. That's why I never really could grasp dying. It just so foreign to me. You know, I have an aunt that's preparing for her death, and she's ordered her coffin, and she knows what she's going to wear. And I turned around, and I donated my body to the university for medical research because, you know, why should I go through all that nonsense of dressing up an eagle and putting it in a box, you know?
Sure.
Although some people need that for the consolation of their children. I understand that. If I had children, I would also do that, you know, but and this is something interesting too. A lot of people say, Joe, why aren't you married? Well, I am destined not to be that way for the simple reason that my children are really spiritual entities, you know, amplifying that spirituality that's in each person. So each one of my clients is my child. And there has been throughout history shamans and all sorts of people who never marry for that reason because of their mission, that what they were born into this world, not to carry on a name, but to amplify the spirit.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
That's particular to myself. I'm not selling a universal thought here or any way of life. I'm just exploring my own and relating it to you.
Oh, sure. Joe, you mentioned an alien stone. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, I had a good friend who's since passed away. We were out on Montauk. That's in the far eastern end of Long Island, New York, where there are sand dunes. And we went looking for a vortex in the sand. I thought I had passed one once before. So we went looking for it, and we found it. And as I was walking along, this object was in the sand, and it kept drawing me to it. I felt, you know, almost like a magnetic pull to it. Mm-hmm. And I picked it up, and the shape, the whole, I wish your audience could see a photo of it. It looks exactly like an alien's head, or what most people think of as a gray alien.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extraordinary. Mm. And so I kept it. And friends of mine went to Bhutan and came back with some prayer beads. And I put them on, and immediately I started channeling from this stone. And I have quite a bit written in this one book. It's a very large notebook and all kinds of notes around it. And I haven't published anything yet. But the thing is, and hold on to your hat, because this is what the alien was showing me. Mm. He was showing me the spiritual life of an alien, which I have never heard anyone relate to that, saying that there is such a thing as a spiritual life for an alien. Well, definitely is. And it's very interesting. And he showed me, I say he because that, I relate easier to a guy. And he, although the aliens don't have this function of sex the way we perceive of it, he was talking about they have left this planet a long time ago, and they have been seeding other planets as well. This is what I mean by that. They were expanding and going through the universe, and they realized at one point, because they had to change their DNA because of radiation and everything, they got to the point where there was no flexibility in their physical being, that their DNA and everything wasn't replicating and changing the way they needed to adapt to other zones in the cosmos. So they come back to the Earth to reconnect with us, and it's almost like a partnership with us. They're learning how to become creative again. They're actually interfacing with us in such a way that they can change their DNA. It's all about knowledge. We have a tremendous amount of knowledge that they need. We usually think of them coming giving us knowledge. That's not really the case. The case is that they're coming back to retool themselves with the knowledge that we have been developing over the course of time while they were losing their creativity.
Isn't that interesting?
Out of essence, well, it was out of default because there's just so much change that they could execute before they couldn't make any more changes. So we're very important to them. We're very important to them. And a lot of people are frightened of them, but it's not. But they do program us in this way. You know the crop circles?
Yes.
Well, the crop circles are all signs. You know, they're almost like mathematical formulas. They're signs that they're energy patterns that if you look at them and concentrate on them, they start to change you. They start to pass on information. How would I put it? If you were to look at the sunset, you get feelings about that, right?
Right.
Yeah. And it changes your disposition, and it does something to your body. And when you have those kinds of changes, it influences your perceptions of the world. It does a lot. It gives you better health, et cetera, and so forth. Well, they found a way to create a visual that will affect our subconscious to the point where our subconscious will start working towards something that we're not working towards right now. And what they're telling me is that the reason they do that is that we are literally throwing our planet off balance. We're doing a tremendous amount of destruction to it. And they said, They can't consciously get the message to us because our egos are too strong. Our greed is very powerful. So they have to go to the subconscious, that neutral zone I talked about.
Yes.
And they program that. So the more people that see crop circles, the more subconscious programming is going on. Just like if you were to walk into a church, and if you're a Christian and you see this cross up in the front, that symbol will give you a lot of messages and call a lot of learning into your mind about, you know, what you shouldn't do and all of that, all the Christian teaching. But when I was a missionary in Korea, there was this church run by the Spanish priest. And they love their crucifixes, and the gorier they are and the more graphic they are, the more they love them. You know what I mean with the Spanish crucifix.
Yes.
And So we brought this one woman in to begin the process of conversion for her. And we opened the doors of the church, and she screamed and fainted. And we brought her outside. And when she came to, she says, "What kind of people are you doing that terrible thing to that man up the altar?"
No. How funny.
And I said to myself, "Oh, thank you for that perception. I think you're right." You know, it is a very gory symbol. Why would you put that up there in the first place?
Oh,
and
certainly.
Things like that started to change my consciousness.
Hmm.
Then I realized while I was a missionary there that I didn't come there to do anything but sell the organization, the Catholic Church it was at the time, when they had a rich history of really spiritual dictums and spiritual insights that were very rich. And that's when I decided there's no point to being a missionary. They already have a lot. They don't need what I was supposedly going there for, you know. And then that released me from any kind of limiting beliefs, so that I could travel on my own and amplify myself and learn from other religions. This is the way I see religions, and they're very necessary. They are like environments, like baskets.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there is no religion on this planet that contains the truth or that has the truth. What each one of them do is create an environment like a basket in which you become enlightened and you gain a truth that's very personal to yourself because you have been conditioned in an environment. Most of the religions that promote good works, promote love of the fellow man and being helpful and all like that, that's a conditioning upon which one day you have an enlightenment of some sort. Mm-hmm. You have your own truth that you carry through life, mm-hmm. and it improves the world. But no church can give you the truth. They can give you the opportunity to create an internal environment in yourself to receive the truth that belongs to you.
That makes absolutely perfect sense. Joe, I'm just going to make a quick announcement for those
right.
who are just tuning in. This is Out of This World with your radio host, Ted Marr. We have on the line today Joe Trolley coming to us live from New York. Joe is one of the best psychics on the East Coast, if not the United States. And Joe, what's the most incredible reading you've ever done with someone or like truths that have come out for people that have been really, really uplifting and positive?
Yeah, it's hard to say because I have had so many people in the course of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, really, it was wonderful. One of my clients had a son who was 16, and he was doing terribly in school. He was having very, very poor self-concept, nearly suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was taking medication for attention deficit disorder and stuff like that. And he was failing and whatnot. And she says, "Would you please talk to my son?" And I don't particularly... It's not my thing to work with teenagers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he got on the phone, and I worked with him and channeled his grandfather for him and just do what I do in a very open way. I don't have any kind of system. I just spontaneously work. And then he got an email from his mother a few weeks later. He's doing well in school. His self-image is better. He's off of the drugs.
Wonderful.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and I said to myself, "Oh, how wonderful! How wonderful!" And to touch a teenager's life to me it was the most wonderful thing because I'm used to doing it with adults, but very hard to reach a teenager.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know, So I was very happy for that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I don't think I answered your question. That wasn't the most extraordinary, but it's the one I remember that I was so happy for.
Oh, wonderful, Joe. Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, my friend. I just thought it'd be interesting to. I'm sure you have.
Yeah, if I remember one, I'll answer your question. Definitely.
Okay, wonderful. I wanted to give out our studio line. If anyone there has any questions, please feel free to call in. Our toll-in number here at the studio is area code 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free within Western Washington, our number here is 1-888-298-5569. Joe, I'm sure you've been in touch with your own spirit guides over the years, and have they told you what they foresee, for example, in the future happening to the United States or the world? Do you see anything happening, for example, for the future for us?
Yeah. Well, my spirit guides don't identify themselves as specific entities. Mm-hmm. They come and go, and So right now, I will get a picture in front of me to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
That there are tremendous biological, climatic, chemical changes going on in the world in terms of sustenance. You know, we've really tapped out to our lifestyle, a lot of the resources. They're there, but we tap them in such a way that there's a lot of imbalance going on.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth will restore itself, but there is going to be a, like the Roman Empire fell, there's going to be a disintegration of governments. Because what governments, were resource managers, and the resources are not going to be controllable the way they were before.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really sit down and examine the function of a government, basically that's what it is.
Sure.
Look at how so many countries are involved with oil production and buying and selling of oil and everything. Every government protects itself, regulates its citizens and everything based on protecting or getting resources.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So the world is not going to provide the resources in the way it used to. Because of the limitation, and the governments are not going to be able to function the way they're functioning now. That's not bad news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What the good news is that there is going to be a leveling of governments that have a hierarchy,
mm-hmm.
and there's going to be more of smaller units that are almost tribal, mm-hmm. in the sense that, how would I put it?
It's government at the local level, in other words, instead of a national government.
Sure. And there will be more consideration for differences.
Sure. Joe, would you? We only have a few minutes left, my friend. We have a caller.
Okay.
I'd love to get her on. Melissa, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Please welcome to the program, and feel free to ask Joe any question you like.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate that.
Well, our pleasure.
I guess just, can you just give me like a general, like an overall compass, like good luck type of stuff? Because that
what you need to do.
Life and work and everything.
Actually, there's no investment in that question. What you really need to do is pick out something specifically to invest in. Ask that question. Then it has emotion and energy behind it. It'll carry to me, and I'll be able to respond.
Okay, so I was just wondering about jobs. So I was kind of hoping to get one at the railroad, but do you see anything happening for me?
You were kind of hoping to get one of the railroads?
Yeah.
Okay. There are three levels. I'm not saying three railroads, but there are three departments in that area where you will definitely get a job there, or you will have an association with it that will be profitable for you. But I don't see, you know, I don't see you proactive. I don't see you being very active with sorting that out.
Yeah,
what are you doing
yet.
To acquire? Go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah.
What are you doing to get involved with the railroad?
Well, right now I'm not pursuing that because I want to go. We want to kind of take our family vacation first, so that way then it'll all be like open.
Well, it's waiting for you, and like I said, you're not proactive right now, but it's waiting for you. I still see three slots that are available to you that won't go away.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so that when you return, it will be, and it's not going to be the kind of work that's going to tax you to the point where you're going to suffer in your family life. It is not going to be a demanding job, but it requires expertise, and you'll do it easily.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You're
Melissa,
welcome.
Melissa,
bye-bye.
Thank you much for calling. And yeah. Joe,
bye-bye.
Joe, we've got just a few seconds here before we finish up the hour, and I apologize for starting late. I'm going to have you back again soon to make up for the lost time. But in a few words, I'd like to end for you to end the segment. What words of wisdom could you give my listeners?
Well, yeah, the thing is, sit back, relax, and allow what you really are, your essential self, all the things that you're capable of loving and doing in this life, have the courage to be silent enough to hear that. To hear that. Because without silence, there's no movement in the direction you should be going. Because you can hear your inner voice. And hearing your inner voice is so important.
Right.
It's a love. The inner voice is a love that resides in you, that is focused totally on you. It's the one thing that loves you the most, understands you the most, and can give you the right advice. So you're wonderful. Carrying your own advice with you. If you just calm down and be peaceful and listen to it and have the courage to follow it.
Wonderful advice, Joe. I'll give you a call tomorrow. And listeners, please hang on. We're going on to our second hour in a few minutes.